So how many people ever really wanted to have something or achieve something, but there was some part of you that didn't believe it was possible? Anybody ever have that? How many people ever wanted to, had a desire for something like to increase your income or to lose weight or to find a relationship, and a part of you didn't quite believe it would even happen? You know, it is amazing that even when we are clear with what it is that we want, clear about our vision, that there can sometimes be a voice inside of us that says, who are you kidding? You can't do this. You can't handle this. You can't achieve this. It'll never happen. And the fact is, every one of us wants to have a happy life, to have a successful life, to have a prosperous life. But sometimes we don't always realize that there are sometimes some underlying beliefs that can limit and even undermine the level of success that we want to achieve. You know, I think that while we want a better life, sometimes we don't believe it's possible. Sometimes we want a better life, but we don't think that we're good enough. Sometimes we want a better life, we just don't think there is enough. You know, we can have clear intentions of what we want to have in our lives, but I think we have things that I call counter-intentions that kind of undermine and hold us back from achieving the very great things that we want, even though it seems obvious what we want. In 1990, I had the very good fortune of competing at Toastmasters World Championship of Public Speaking in Dallas. I was one of the 9 world finalists. And it was really a cool experience. You know, there's 6 levels you go up, and I was just having fun. I was enjoying it, writing good talks and delivering them, and I was winning. And then someone said to me, but this is the world championship now. This is serious, and it's big. You'll be speaking in front of 2,000 people. And I started freaking out. 2,000 people, this is big. Started, you know, working, writing. Nope, that's not good enough. Freaked out. And I got sick, I got stressed, and I stunk like the worst talk in the history of Toastmasters. And embarrassed in front of 2,000 people. You know, I'm from a family of 10 kids, and I think about 9 of them flew there, and it was embarrassed on the largest scale ever. That I was crushed and destroyed. Couldn't even look at the video afterwards for years. And so 2 weeks after we get home, the Toastmaster president of our club invited me to dinner, and we had dinner. And in dinner, she said, hey, did you purposely sabotage yourself in that thing? And I was, I have to say, I was like really offended. I think, what do you mean? Who would go and bomb purposely? Who would go and embarrass themselves and do a horrible job? And I was actually annoyed. And I left. And I'm a home, and I'm laying in bed at night. I'm thinking, I'd never do that. Why would I do that? That makes no sense. And as I laid there, I realized I was terrified of what would have happened if I'd won. Could I really have handled what it would have meant to have been the world champion of public speaking? Could I have handled that level of responsibility, that level of success? There was some part of me that couldn't believe that I could have done that, and I could have handled it. So how many people ever had something you wanted to achieve and some place deep inside that you may not have even admitted to yourself, thought, maybe I'm not good enough for this. You know, maybe I can't achieve this. You know, I want it, but is it really ever going to happen? You know, week one was about anchoring yourself in the very source and the consciousness of God that makes all prosperity and good things possible. Week two was about giving to move that energy in your life. Last week is about, what does that vision look like? What do you want to create and move towards? And this week is about the things that stop us from getting there. How do we get rid of the things that hold us back and sabotage and undermine and limit and prevent us from having and moving towards the very vision of success and happiness and fulfillment that we desire? And, you know, and one of the things about it is the things that we believe. Believing I'm not good enough. Believing that I can't have it. Believing that it's not possible. You know, beliefs are powerful. Every one of us has belief systems. And belief systems are a set of deeply held convictions of what we absolutely feel is how life works. Deeply held convictions about who we are and what we're worthy of or not, and how, you know, and how other people are as well. And these beliefs play a significant role on the quality of our lives and our experiences and what happens and what doesn't happen in our lives. What we create and what we don't create. What we have and what we don't have. Beliefs are powerful. Whether they're healthy or not healthy, whether they're true or not true, beliefs play a huge role in shaping who we are and how we live. We've all heard things like what the mind can conceive and believe it will achieve. All things are possible to those who believe. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it and it will be yours. Everything in our lives, everything that we experience is some expression of a predominant belief. It's an outpicturing of deeper beliefs that are in us. And sometimes we don't realize that sometimes we live out of some unhealthy beliefs. Some beliefs that are not true about who we are. Beliefs that aren't true about how life is lived, but they've been so deeply ingrained in us from the time we were young that we don't know how sometimes to break out of it. That we live in certain patterns of limitation. You know, somebody, Gay Hendrick calls it, everyone suffers from a ULP, an upper limit problem. And it's our beliefs that put a glass ceiling on how much love, how much success, how much greatness, how much responsibility that we allow ourselves to allow it to come into our lives, to be a part of our lives, to accept, and for us to receive. And so we often operate out of some very erroneous, unhealthy beliefs about ourselves. Here are four of the major ones. The first one is I'm not good enough, or I'm not worthy, or I'm not deserving. And sometimes think we're not, you know, worthy of being loved or having great success or whatever. It manifests in all kinds of ways. I'm not smart enough, not tall enough, not good enough, then this enough. Another one is there just ain't enough. Ain't enough time. Not enough love, not enough money, not enough happiness, not enough success. The third one is a core belief that life is hard. Life is a struggle. Life is unfair. It's a dog-eat-dog world. You got to look out for number one. And then the fourth one is that we have some funky and interesting beliefs about money. We love it, we hate it, it's good, it's bad. And sometimes we look at money and just always think, are my money? Not enough. That's the first thing we think about it. Look at my check, not enough. And we project a belief of not enough. And even though there's something there, we have some very interesting, I do a whole class on our relationship with money. So beliefs there are powerful, and they can be very limiting, and they can limit, they can attract or repel the very things that we're seeking. And so the question is, where do these unhealthy beliefs that hold us back and limit us come from? And the fact is they come from our parents, to our teachers, to religion, to society and commercials and movies. I mean, there are all kinds of ways that sometimes teach us some unhealthy things and beliefs about ourselves. You know, from the time we're young, we hear all kinds of messages when we're a kid. Good boy. You're a wonderful girl. We hear all kinds. Oh, that's a great job. We hear all kinds of things. But we hear some things that aren't so healthy either as well. You know, we hear, you know, you never listen. You'll never amount to anything. You know, you'd forget your head if it wasn't screwed on. I mean, there are all kinds of things that we hear, you know, you'll catch a cold if you go outside when your hair is wet. I mean, there are all kinds of things. Didn't you hear all kinds of things when you were a kid? And you look back now and think, what the heck? And each of these statements I just said, really in and of themselves, aren't really harmful, but over time, you know, repeated, we begin to believe that they are true. And, you know, they can be impressed upon us in a way that we live our whole lives out of some of those unhealthy beliefs. My question for you is, what were some of the messages you heard as a child that are still with you today and impacting how you feel about yourself and how much success and worthiness you have in whatever areas, whether it's love or business or finances? And don't even get me started on religion, of the damage religion can do. A miserable sinner, unworthy of God's grace. Well, hello and good morning to you, Reverend, as well. And I was just like, really? This is some of the, I mean, it is amazing how damaging religion can be about, you know, putting us down and saying how unworthy we are. You know, things like God will punish you, you're going to hell. I mean, there are all kinds of things. Just, I know adults that are still scared from all the messages that they heard as a child. And the ideas about, even again, with money, that money is the root of all evil. Kind of feeling bad and guilty about desiring money or financial abundance. We think that's ungodly. I mean, there are all kinds of beliefs out there that we've been taught as children that have a very limiting impact on how we live our lives today, many decades later. Dr. Robert Anthony said, you can have anything you want if you give up the belief that you can't have it. Sometimes we need to work to get over the belief that it'll never happen. I'm not good enough. I don't have what it takes. And I think those beliefs actually limit us more than any difficult circumstance we could actually be experiencing. Sometimes we think it's a lack of education or lack of this or that. I think it's the belief that things that we can't and won't ever have it is actually more debilitating and limiting. Michelangelo was asked about his sculpture of David. And he said, well, I was given a marble, a slab of marble. And he said, I saw the image of David. And everything else, I just chipped away of everything that wasn't David. Last week, you saw your vision. You're David. And this week, we're going to way of chipping away that everything that's not our David. That everything that is not a part of the vision of who we want to be and the life that we want to have. I would say one of the most important spiritual practices is letting go and releasing of the things that are not true, not healthy, not helpful. Because then we get back to our pure spirit, the purity of joy and love and innocence and creativity that we are. It's all the gunk that's been piled on us that we've accepted and believed. And it's getting rid and chipping those things away, releasing those things that is vital and important. One of my favorite quotes is by a guy named Havelock Ellis. And he said this. He said, all the art of living lies in the fine mingling of letting go and holding on. All the art of living lies in the fine mingling of letting go and holding on. Because in life, sometimes we let go of things we should hold on to. And we hold on to things we should let go of. Letting go and holding on are two powerful life principles. But sometimes we don't use it as effectively. There are things we are holding on for years that really we should let go of. And things that we've let go of that we probably should hold on to. Holding on to love, holding on to faith, you know, holding on to our dreams, holding on to so much good. And so we need to retrain ourselves. You know, what is it do I need to hold on to and what is it that I need to let go? Because that's the art of living. Are you holding on to the best things? And are you letting go of the things that are blocking your sense of peace and happiness and fulfillment? So tonight we're going to talk about chipping away at everything that isn't our vision, that isn't our David, and letting go of the things that aren't healthy or helpful for us. And how do we do that? Well, the first thing is actually to become aware. To become aware of what is it that's holding me back? what is it, do I think, that's stopping me or preventing me from experiencing peace and happiness and love and joy? What are those things, do I think, that are holding me back? What are the messages of my childhood that are still causing me harm and pain today? Awareness is the first step to change and transformation. And to me, being aware of ourselves, of our hurts, of our limiting beliefs, it's harder than you think. It takes mental awareness that requires honesty. It requires discipline. It requires being present, being observant, being non-judgmental. Self-awareness is a vital and crucial element of self-transformation, self-examination. And so it isn't an easy practice, and it ain't a one-time one. I wish it was. It's an ongoing thing to be self-aware of our dysfunction, of our hurt, of our pain, of our shame, of our fear, of our jealousy, of our anger, of whatever those limiting beliefs might be. So awareness, second one. And the way we get to that awareness is first start paying attention to the things we say and the things we think. Sometimes we don't even realize we think things like, I am such a knucklehead. I can't remember anything. Things never work out for me. Life stinks. You know, I always get hurt. You can't trust anyone these days. And if it wasn't for my family, if it wasn't for this economy, if it wasn't for whatever the next thing is. And so we need to pay attention. What are the words that come out of my mouth on a regular basis? What are the ways I put myself down or label life as not good or unfair or not trusting of people? And what happens is when we say these things enough, we actually create not only beliefs but excuses and blame and self-hatred. And all of these things are just not helpful. And so it's important to just be aware. Second thing is to pay attention to the things that trigger some negative emotions in you. Like, what is it that triggers anxiety or jealousy or fear? That anything that triggers a strong negative emotion is something to pay attention to, because it's usually something behind it, some insecurity, some fear, some something that is triggering those feelings. I mean, there are people, they get cut off on the highway, boom, and they just go wild. Sometimes to ask for a raise, ask someone on a date, they're all kind of like trigger all kinds of anxiety to be honest and share your emotions. I mean, there are certain things that trigger us, and if it triggers those things, we need to pay a bit of attention to them. One of the things that really helped me a lot, I was never a journaling kind of guy, but I read a book by Meister Eckhart, and he'd mentioned about the importance of awareness and how journaling can really help notice some of the patterns that we sometimes think. So I started journaling, and I started noticing some things that kept coming up regularly. And they kind of revealed that I feel a little insecure, that I feel unworthy, that I feel a little intimidated by large amounts of success or whatever it is. Because the mind tends to go to certain places, and if you keep journaling, you'll actually notice some of your own patterns. Patterns you don't even notice in the regular course of your day. But if you write it down, it's like, whoa, here's four times in the last 5 days this particular thing came up. And so what are the beliefs that are holding you back? And so right now, I just want you to write down, as you think and give some consideration, what would you say are three or four limiting beliefs that at this moment that you're currently aware that you have, or currently aware that is having some impact on your life? You'll do more of this work this week, and I'm sure there are more than three or four, but right now let's focus on the three or four that first come to you. So keep writing if you need to write a little bit more, and we'll move on. And now we're going to look at different ways of releasing and eliminating our limiting beliefs. The first one is a Hawaiian practice and a process of letting go of toxic energies called, I always have a hard time pronouncing it, So it's like Ho'oponopono. And it's really amazing because what it does, it's about cleaning out and cleansing thought patterns and ways of thinking that cause us unnecessary pain and suffering. And it is really about clearing it away and to purify that energy to create a greater channel of peace and light and abundance in our lives. You know, that word Ho'oponopono means to rectify an error in our thinking or to make it right so that we can realign ourselves with spirit. We can realign ourselves with abundance and love and goodness. The thing I like about the practice is that you don't have to really know what the exact problem is. You just need to notice that something isn't feeling right. And whether it's in the form of frustration or pain or disappointment or anger or stress or feeling inferior, first thing is to notice and acknowledge something isn't feeling right. Something is feeling heavy. Something is feeling disconnected. The second thing is to accept responsibility for it. However it came, you know, I am supporting this because I'm feeling it. The third thing is to release that energy to God to be healed and transformed. And the fourth is to give thanks for that healing, to give thanks for that transformation. So everyone, I want you to think of a limiting belief, or we can think of all of our limiting beliefs, or a particular feeling of disconnect and frustration you might be feeling. And now just close your eyes and take a deep breath. And I will pray this prayer on our behalf for all of us to release these energies. And here we go. Divine Creator, I release this fear, this hurt, this frustration, all the negative beliefs and harmful thoughts that I've held on to, those that I'm aware of and those that I'm unaware. I accept responsibility for holding these thought energies that have brought me pain and difficulty. I ask now that you heal me, cleanse me, release me from them, dissolve all that is not real, and purify my heart, my mind, and transform these unwanted energies into your pure light, into pure peace. Fill my heart with love. Fill my mind with peace. Fill me with your wisdom and understanding and compassion. Open me to feel and experience your divine presence and the fullness of the life that you have called me here to live and the things you have called me here to share. Thank you, God. Amen. And so what I want you to do this week is to do that prayer daily. To do a cleansing prayer, whether you know what the thing is or not, that if you are feeling any frustration, do this prayer daily as a practice of releasing limiting beliefs and toxic energies and thought patterns that have been holding us back for years. That prayer, that practice is really a demonstration of the words from Psalm 51, verse 10 that says, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me." Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. So that's the first method of how to release our limiting beliefs. The second one is affirmations and denials. I know everybody knows what an affirmation is. How many people know what the spiritual practice of denials are? Anybody? How many people? Okay, a couple. So let me explain. A denial is a spiritual practice that breaks down an old belief and eliminates the power of a negative thought and belief so that we can break down the old and affirm or build up a healthier and better thought. Now, classically, when you hear someone is in denial, It means that they are not facing or aware of a reality that it usually is not a good thing. Like they are in denial about their drinking problem, or in denial about their anger, or in denial about the pain that they're still feeling from the loss of their child. It is usually in not acknowledging an unhealthy pain or unhealthy energies that are actually there. The spiritual practice of denial is actually acknowledging the situation, but denying the power that it has over our lives and our peace and our happiness. And so there's a huge difference between the classic idea of what a denial is and the spiritual practice. It's acknowledging that I have an unhealthy belief here, but realizing that this doesn't have any power over me. It is recognizing it and then choosing to consciously break down the belief that it has control over my life. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus says, then Jesus told his disciples, if you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And when you read this scripture growing up, it was like, man, this sounds rough, man. Deny ourselves. It sounds like deny yourself joy, deny yourself comfort, deny yourself anything good. And take up this cross sounds like some onerous burden that no one really wants to have. And that's actually not what it is saying. When it says deny yourself, it means deny your small self. Deny your selfishness or your anger or your fear and take up your cross, take up the responsibility and follow me to a higher spiritual way of living. That's what it means. Maybe this assumption that deny yourself means deny the good stuff. No, it's deny the jealousy and the insecurity and the negativity and take up your cross to live a higher Christ-like standard life. And so it's actually the very opposite. And so what denials does is acknowledges those aspects in ourselves that may not be the very best and take the power away from those beliefs and those thoughts. So something like, my fear has no power over me. You know, the anger that I've held towards my family no longer has any power over me. My feelings of unworthiness that I'm not good enough has no power over me. You know, my belief that there isn't enough love has no power over me, or no longer has any power over me. You know, my belief that I'm alone and no one loves me has no power over me. So it's about acknowledging those areas in our lives where we feel some limiting belief or something that's not healthy, and just saying it has no power over me. So what I'd like you to do is look at your limiting belief and write a denial about it. Because it's about acknowledging, hey, this is a belief I've had, but making the conscious, powerful choice to say it no longer has any power over me. So write three of those for the three limiting beliefs that you've written down. Keep writing if you need to keep writing. Let me give you a couple more examples of denials. Anybody ever say some negative things or get caught up in some negative thinking or negative thoughts and you say to yourself, cancel, cancel? Anybody ever do that? That's just a form of denying the power over some negative thought we were thinking. Or you catch yourself thinking stuff and you say, you know, don't talk like that. I mean, it's about a way of catching ourselves before we get too into it and kind of denying its power over us. So that's the denial part, the breaking down of old beliefs consciously and taking their power away. And then an affirmation is what is a healthier, positive thought that replaces it. You know, so it is a way of reconditioning the mind after releasing the old thought to create a new positive thought or a way that we want or a thing we want to experience in our lives. And so there are all kinds of affirmations just in the Bible, you know, like it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. That's a nice, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. These are some good affirmations. God is the source of everything I need or everything I could ever desire. You know, each and every day and each and every way, my life is getting better and better and better. There are all kinds of things that affirm positive attributes and experiences. You know, I am happy, healthy, wealthy, and wise. You know, everything I touch turns to gold. You know, good things are always happening to me and through me. I could go on and on because there are tons of positive things we can affirm. And so what we begin to do then is match the denial, breaking down an own belief, and replacing it with a positive. So my fear has no power over me. I am strong and centered in God's love. So it's the fear has no power, but I'm strong and centered in God's love. So you take away the old and you replace it with something new. So my past has no power over my peace and happiness. I am free to create the life I want. So it's you're letting go of the belief that my past is going to control my life and saying, no, I've got the power to create the life that I want. My thoughts of lack and limitation has no power over me. You know, I live in God's abundance and God's abundance lives in me, or I live a prosperous life. My feelings of unworthiness have no power over me. You know, I am worthy of God's love, peace, and prosperity. And so it's taking whatever it is that you have come to believe that isn't good in your life, breaking it down and affirming the very opposite of the truth of the good thing that you want to create. So take the denial you wrote and now write an affirmation that actually counters it and strengthens a new belief and a new way that you want to live and experience your life. I would include it. Well, it's, you know, with Unity, folks, we sometimes like to do the positive so much that sometimes we don't want to admit that we're sad. We don't want to admit anything. And that's actually usually not very healthy. And so it's not a matter of dwelling on it. It's a matter of just acknowledging and denying that it has power over me. Because it's acknowledging, you know what, I've had some belief about unworthiness or the fear. You know, and so you don't have to do the denials and affirmations all the time, but I would definitely do them, and then you can continue on your affirmations. But to do affirmations alone, you know, they actually have studies that show that sometimes affirmations don't work, and they go in the opposite way when you actually don't believe it. And that's why sometimes working on breaking down the old, doing the denials, is an important part that actually helps you create more success in your life with the affirmations, because you really need to kind of clear out the old, you know, because trying to build new stuff on a garbage dump is really not a bad, it's good to kind of clear it out because we got a lot of junk in ourselves. Okay. I'll get to you guys after. If we can do it at the end, that would be great. So, and I always think, use your affirmations for anything you want to create new beliefs about. You know, I believe I can be calm and collected in rush hour traffic. Or I believe I can increase my income by 50%. I believe that I'm a great leader. Or I believe I'm a successful salesperson. I believe that God will guide me to make the right decisions at the right time. Just use your words to begin to build new beliefs that you want to create. And the second to last thing I want to talk about is that I love it all the time, is the power of your feelings. Anybody ever feel like you can't control your feelings, or you're feeling all kinds of things? We have all felt like that. Yeah, but the truth is we really actually can control our feelings. We've gotten so habitual. Like, ever like been in a room and you're in a funk and you don't even know why you're in a funk? But the fact is we can get ourselves out of a funk. Now, when you're going through grief, it's good to stay with your grief. Don't avoid your grief. But there are lots of times where isn't grief and isn't anything wrong going on, and we're just feeling like in a funk. And the fact is, I believe that we have more control over of our feelings and the power of our feelings than we realize. Let me give you an example. Right now, I want you to make yourself feel powerful. Do whatever you need to do to feel powerful. Feel powerful in your body. Feel powerful in your heart and your mind. Feel powerful. Now I want you to feel tired. Feel tired, feel lazy, lethargic as you can feel. And now I want you to feel excited. Feel excited, enthusiastic, feel high energy. Now, how many people were able to go to those places? Powerful, lethargic, excited. We can do that. One thing I always look at, I love sports. And so I look at athletes, and they always get what I call game ready. So that these athletes, LeBron James, Steph Curry, you know, Tom Brady, no matter what's going on in their life, when it's game time, it's game time. They know how to get in that mindset. They know how to get in that feeling for whatever is before them, which is their game. Well, can you imagine getting game ready for your interview tomorrow? Getting game ready. And for me, getting game ready is to say, what are the feelings I need to feel to be successful in that meeting tomorrow? To be calm, to be peaceful, to feel confident. You know, maybe it is to feel loving or to kind or gentle. There is nothing stopping any of us from consciously saying that at tomorrow meeting, I'm going to feel confident. I'm going to feel powerful. You know, I'm going to feel joyful. Or I'm going to be in a place where I'll listen and I'll be centered and I'll be clear thinking. Because there's nothing that we can't do. When you set your intention to be game ready for whatever it is, you can get yourself into the emotional and mental place that you want to be successful in that. Maybe you have to have a hard conversation with someone and to say, I'm going to be clear-headed, I'm going to be open-hearted and compassionate. I mean, we all have certain things we need to do, and the question is, are we taking advantage of getting our hearts and minds prepared emotionally and using our feelings, you know, to be as successful as we can be? And the final thing that I think is the most helpful for healing and letting go of things that don't serve us is the more time in meditation, the more time we're centered in God, you know what happens? The things that are not of God fall away. The more that we're centered in the truth of who we are, the more the things that aren't of the truth of who we are fall away. The more we're centered in spirit, the more we let go of everything that's not our David. The more those things slip away without having to push him away or force him away. Because when you're centered in that pure energy, everything that is not of that energy just begins to dissipate, falling off like leaves off the tree in autumn, gently, easily, and naturally. Beliefs are powerful. They are the thing that attract or repel the very things we seek in life. And we need to be aware of the ones that are limiting us and consciously choose to let them go, to heal and release them, whether it's the Ho'oponopono prayer, whether it's affirmations and denials, you know, whether it is through meditation or using the power of our feelings, we have the ability to release all of those things that stop us from moving forward and creating the vision of the prosperous life we want to live.